You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Stura, Matt Wilhelm with you here. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, do not forget that OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers, when it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket. Teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, so OBM can tackle any of your copier problems and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns, visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today or call 216-485-2000. Should the Browns go wide receiver? Well, in his latest mock draft, Mel Kiper Jr. at number 12 has the Browns taking Devontae Parker, wide receiver from Louisville. Now, Parker is certainly a very good prospect, played with Teddy Bridgewater, Theodore last year, 6'2", 207. And as in his analysis of him, he said what they didn't do last year was get a high upside talent at wide receiver, and Parker has as high a ceiling as you can find in this class. Can beat defenders to the ball with his size, leaping ability, and catch radius, and he's an underrated as a threat to add yards after the catch or on short throws. With Josh Gordon potentially done in Cleveland, at a minimum, he's gone for 2015. Parker looks like a no-brainer here for the Cleveland Browns.
I agree, and like I said, what I love about this is we're going to go get size and we're going to get a playmaker. You know, and I don't believe that what we feel we have to do is we don't have to go fill Josh Gordon's shoes, because he... from what we saw in 2013, was in a world of his own, you know, and the way in which he plays and lead the league. What we need is, I think in some cases, I would be happy falling short of this year's first round guys. You know, maybe a Sammy Watkins type of year, who was what, fourth or fifth in the rookie class, but missing some games as well. Odell Beckham Jr., of course, set the tone. Mike Evans and those guys. And I thought, like, you know, I'm looking for 50 receptions and 800 yards, you know. Because what you have to understand is that you will build on that. He'll go next. He'll go 75, you know, for 1,000. And then he goes, you know, 100 receptions for 1,400 yards. So that's the type of guy that I believe both White and Parker could bring here to Cleveland.
And as we talked about Parker, touchdown maker in 2012, 10 touchdowns last year. Really only played a few games, played six games and had 55 catches, 885 yards. And 855 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he was a very productive player, despite the fact that he was, in many ways, you know, missing time. He had double-digit touchdowns in 2012 and 2013 before his season last year, where he played in six games, but still put up 855 yards without Theodore Bridgewater, as a matter of fact. So that's where he's got him going at number 12. Now, Todd McShay, who we talked about, just put out his latest big board. And he has got Devontae Parker at, believe it or not, number 12 overall in this draft. His comments about him: above average size speed combo with the ability to run under the deep ball, make defenders miss, and to pick up extra yards after the catch. Good separation skills, plucks the ball out of the air well, makes over-the-shoulder catches. After missing seven games, he exploded back, finishing the year with 855 and 5 scores in just 6 games. At times, he's had him ranked as high as number 8 on his big board, currently at number 12. Then as the mock draft progresses, down at number 19, he's got the Browns taking Eddie Goldman, the defensive tackle from Florida State. Kiper saying when Phil Taylor got hurt last year, the Browns really suffered, particularly when it came to stopping the run. Pretty good example of why you can only be as good as your depth on the D-line. The Browns have an extra pick, and given they've already added a weapon in the passing game, this is a good time to add help on the D-line. I can see Malcolm Brown or Jordan Phillips, but Goldman is a player who was already good in 2014, even when you feel like he's just scratching the surface of his potential. Adding Goldman and a healthy Taylor has the Browns' potential to be pretty good up front in 2015. And Goldman checks in at number 17 overall on Todd McShay's big board, saying, I thought he was the Seminoles' best player this season on a very talented defense.
And I love that pick. And, you know, Jim Donovan and myself got into defensive line last year. And you have to love the depth that we have coming back. You know, this all taking for granted that Ataba Rubin will, of course, move on, you know, in his career and go somewhere else. But you've got a healthy John Hughes coming back. Armonte Bryant will be back. You've got Desmond Bryant. And there's decisions to be made at outside linebacker. A pass rusher At some point, I would think in the first three rounds, because in the first three rounds, I think that's where you get immediate contribution, that you can find, you know, someone of value. And that might be, you know, some of those value picks that, you know, Ray can move around and go get in the second or third round by someone wanting to move up, that we can get another impact player and maybe in the second round and add to that pass rush. Or also, too, go receiver again. You know, find a mid-round gem that can come in. You don't have to have all – and then what I love about this wide receiving core, Nathan, is – we don't have a whole lot of money tied up in any one player. You know, maybe we get a first-round draft pick. You've got Hawkins, you know, making $2.5, $3 million maybe in his second year of his deal. But then you've got, you know, Benjamin and Gabriel. Austin will be on probably a vet minimum salary, maybe with a $1 million number. So we might have $5 or $6 million tied up at the wide receiver position, you know, in 1 year. And you got to figure, you know, teams like Detroit and Larry with Megatron and Dez Bryant's going to get $60 million. They'll have $10-plus million tied up in one player. You know, it's, and so we'll be able to grow. And so
we don't have anything tied up at quarterback either.
That's my point. And so we can let loose and go get a guy if we fall in love with someone, whether it be free agency, or via trade, that we can pay to grow with this core of wide receivers of talent around him. You got T. West and Crowell, you know, going into their second year as well. So this is to me personally, a little bit more attractive than some people might think.
It certainly is. And the Browns, by the way, we need to acknowledge Dean Smith. We didn't mention Dean Smith earlier.
That was the third.
Also,
so I was right,
the golfing
but I missed
world,
him.
Billy Casper, Charlie
yes.
Sifford both passed away this week as well. Dean Smith, a phenomenal guy, and I took some time to read a lot of the articles written about him. What an amazing coach he was, but also an activist. And there was a quote that he said, when, you know, people tell you that you do something that's right, you don't, you know, you just did it because it was right. You did it because it was the right thing to do, not for attention, because you're doing what's right. You're just doing what's right.
That's a lesson that, you know, I will raise my son with, that a lot of kids in today's world, some professional athletes, maybe even on our own roster right here, need to listen to the lessons of Dean Smith. But, yeah, he was and I'm sorry for leaving Dean Smith out, as we talked about those three that passed. He was probably, to me, the most one that heartfelt, because I grew up a Jordan fan. You know, which organically made me a North Carolina Tar Heel fan when it came to college hoops. You know, the Vince Carter and Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace, that was my heyday of growing up watching the Tar Heels and rooting for them. Got to see them win, I believe, a national championship in 95, if I'm not mistaken. And then also, too, why I still tune into North Carolina and root for them. And, of course, now the Buckeyes with Thad Matta. But because Roy Williams was a Dean Smith tutorial. He grew up in that in the upbringing of Dean Smith, and he carries that on now at North Carolina. But very tough to see those go away. And you know, as years go by, there will be legends after legends after legends, probably in every Hall of Fame, from baseball to college, both football and basketball, that will pass, that have had a significant role in our upbringing of why we loved sports when we were kids.
And it is true, and he certainly was a staple and a guy who was a great coach but a better activist. And I don't know if people know this about him, but in 1964, Dean Smith went with a black student to a historically all-white restaurant shortly after the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And upon seeing that the three of us who had come to eat was Dean Smith, the door was open, we were served. That was the beginning of this restaurant being open to everybody. In 1965, he helped a black graduate student buy a home in one of Chapel Hill's all-white neighborhoods. The graduate student, Howard Lee, would later become the town's mayor. And the quote that I was looking for, by the way, was this as followed, and I think that it certainly is exactly right. Above all else, he believed you should live your life for reasons more meaningful than fame. A quote once gave to the Washington Post, John Feinstein, quote, "You should never be proud of doing what's right. You should just do what's right." Dean Smith, and certainly you got emotional letters from Michael Jordan about it. He's a guy who will be missed and was a guy who was much more than a basketball coach, but certainly very much a legend and a tremendous activist and a tremendous man, and he will be missed. And yes, it was a tough week in the world of sports in terms of loss this week. When we come back, we will talk with Lance Zierling from NFL.com, guy with a lot of good draft information. He just released his first mock draft, also knows offensive lines very well. We will talk to him about the Browns offensive line, the Browns quarterback situation, because I know that is your question du jour, Mr. Wilhelm. And we'll do that, and we'll talk with you as well. 216-578-0850. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Maybe it's the way you tilt your head when you laugh.